I'd ask you to turn with me this afternoon in your Bibles to a familiar passage, Exodus 20. There we begin reading at verse 8. Hear now God's holy word. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I'd ask you would also turn with me in the back here, Psalters, to Lord's Day 38. There the question is asked, what is God's will for us in the fourth commandment? First, that the gospel ministry and education for it be maintained, and that especially on the festive day of rest, I regularly attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways, let the Lord work in me through His Spirit, and so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, is Sunday the best day of the week for us? We sang at the beginning of our worship service, safely through another week, God has brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek, waiting in His courts today. Day of all the week, the best, emblem of eternal rest. We sing these words, but is it truly the case for us that we see this day of all the week as the best day of all? Or do we get more out of a Saturday or some other day off? The psalmist says in Psalm 84, verse 10, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. We need to ask ourselves a very important question. Is one day in God's house better than a thousand elsewhere? Is this truly how we feel? Do our souls yearn, even faint, for the courts of the Lord to be in God's presence? Do we each Sunday earnestly seek His face as we have sung? Were you already getting excited last night that you could come here today? Or would you rather have been somewhere else? I remember a while back there was a commercial of a family who they were going to be going to Disneyland. And in the evening before, then the father came into the room to see if the kids were sleeping, but they weren't. And he said, how come you haven't gone to sleep yet? What's going on? And they said, we're too excited to sleep. Is that who we are as a people on a Saturday? Too excited to sleep almost because we're going to go to God's house. When one surveys what takes place on any given Sunday in our world today, we see that for many people, including many professing Christians, a day in God's courts is not better than a thousand elsewhere. Many people show that they would rather be somewhere else. But God has commanded us to keep this day holy so that we can rest from all our work and come into His presence and worship Him and rest in His grace. And so this commandment is one that should bring great joy to our hearts. Never should we see it as a burden, but rather as a delight to keep. I bring you God's word as summarized for us in Lord's Day 38 with the following theme, keeping God's Sabbath day of rest holy. Beloved, time is a very precious commodity. a very precious thing to all of us. Few things are more precious than time. We need time to work, time to play, and time to rest. And it seems so often that with all that is going on in our lives, there never seems to be quite enough time. We wish we had time to do all kinds of other things. And so the idea of setting aside a whole day of the week to rest from our labors and devote our time in worship and the like seems very unproductive to many people. But even if devoting a whole day to God may not seem very efficient or what we would like to do, it is still very important for us to do because God knows what is good for us and because God has commanded it in His fourth commandment. God comes to us and says in Exodus 20, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." The first thing that God wants us to do is to remember the Sabbath day. The fourth commandment calls us to a weekly remembrance of the Sabbath, of the great work of God in creation and redemption, in making us and saving us. When God gave the law in Exodus 20, He said in verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Beloved, the fourth commandment goes all the way back to the creation of the world. The Sabbath is one of the world's original institutions, going back to the week that the world was made. God made the world in 6 literal 24-hour days, and then He rested. Genesis 2, verse 2 tells us that once His creative work was done, on the seventh day He rested from all His work. And to mark the occasion, verse 3 goes on to say, "God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done." God already in creation blessed a day for us to share in His rest and to remember His great work of creation. The seventh day was holy because it was a day of the week set aside for the recognition of God as the creator and the provider of all that exists and is enjoyed by His creatures. But there's also another reason for remembering the Sabbath day. When God gave the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5, He says, "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." Beloved, the Sabbath day not only looked back to creation, but also to redemption. It reminded God's people that they had been delivered from slavery in Egypt, but now they were set free. And so the Sabbath day, was a day to celebrate their liberation from the house of bondage by giving glory to God and resting in God's graces. And it has even greater meaning for us today as Christians. We have received a new and a greater deliverance. We no longer look back to the old Exodus for our salvation. We look to Jesus Christ, who accomplished a greater Exodus by dying for our sins and rising again. Jesus is the fulfillment of the fourth commandment, as He is of all the others. The Old Testament Sabbath pointed to the full and final rest that can only be found in Christ. Beloved, Jesus gives a whole new meaning to work and a whole new meaning to rest. Jesus came into this world to finish the work of the Father, as Jesus said in John 4, verse 34. And on the basis of that work, He is able to give us rest for our souls. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Beloved, we can never earn our salvation, no matter how hard we tried. All we can do and need to do is to repose, to rest in the finished work always of Jesus Christ. The psalmist says in Psalm 62, verse 1, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him." And so each Lord's Day is remembering that our salvation rests in Jesus Christ. We rest on what Christ has done. This is the rest for our soul and points us to that eternal rest with God forever and forever. But now this remembering is also God's memorandum to His people, reminding us to give Him glory for His grace towards us. Remembering involves more than just memories. It demands a total engagement of our whole person in the service of God. Remembering the Sabbath day is like remembering one's anniversary. It is not enough to just say on one's anniversary to your wife, "Happy anniversary." It requires more than that at times. Maybe dinner and flowers, maybe some jewelry, maybe a romantic evening or for two. It calls for an engagement with one another. In much the same way, remembering the Sabbath day means using the day to show our love for God in a special way. God said in verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Literally, we are to sanctify it, set it apart for sacred use. So how are we to do this? How do we keep it holy? How do we set it apart for sacred use? Well, God gives explicit instructions for keeping the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, holy. First of all, we are not to carry on with our regular labor, our routine, our work. As verse 9 says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. Beloved, God has given us 6 whole days to fulfill our earthly calling, but the Sabbath day is to be a day of rest from our usual business. This means that this is not a day for business as usual or for people to do their own thing. To work on this day, except for works of mercy, is a direct violation against the fourth commandment. It is a frontal attack on the rule of God in a person's life. To carry out regular work on this day shows an irreligious heart and greatly offends God. To work on the Lord's day is to follow the way of the world and the devil. And by God including male servants and female servants, we see that the fourth commandment has profound implications for the wider community. Some commentators have described the fourth commandment as the world's first workers' bill of rights. In the ancient world, there was a sharp division between masters and slaves. But now here is a new social order in which work and rest are not divided among class lines. Everyone should work and everyone should rest because everyone should be free to worship God. And God wants us to worship Him on this day. This is why He gives this command. Beloved, this is especially how we keep the Sabbath day holy, by worshiping the Lord on this day. To keep something holy in the biblical sense is to dedicate it exclusively for worship. And so the Sabbath is for God and His worship. God says in verse 10, "The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God." God reminds us in this commandment that we have a special relationship with God. God says, "I am the Lord your God, and the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God." To keep the Sabbath day holy, to keep it to the Lord, is to give the whole day over to the Lord, setting it apart for Him and His glory. God tells His people in Leviticus 23, verse 3, "There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work wherever you live, It is a Sabbath to the Lord. Beloved, the fact that God here calls the Sabbath a day of sacred assembly reminds us right away of our gathering together for corporate worship each and every Sunday. Sunday is a day of sacred assembly, of coming together as God's people and assembling ourselves before God. Jesus endorsed this practice by attending weekly Sabbath services at the synagogue. We read in Luke 4, verse 16, he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. In the catechism, we confess that God's will in the fourth commandment is that the gospel ministry and education for be maintained, and that especially on the festive day of rest, I regularly attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Beloved, this focus on worship on Sundays led the Puritans to refer to the Sabbath day as the market day for the soul. Whereas the other 6 days of the week are for ordinary commerce, this is the day in which we transact our spiritual business, trading in the currency of heaven. One of the primary purposes for which God set aside this day was so that we would come to know Him more and more. Nothing we do makes a bigger difference in our lives, makes a bigger difference in who we become than worshiping with the people of God each and every week. Of course, we need to spend time with God every day. Daily Bible reading and prayer sustain our spiritual vitality. But meeting weekly with God in corporate worship provides an anchor for our whole existence. The Lord's Day is a day to step back from life's ordinary routines in order to discover God's goodness and grace and rest in His grace. The Lord's Day is a vacation for the soul. It is a day to revel in the wonders of God and the mysteries of His word. And as we do, then the Lord refreshes our souls and renews our spirits. As Martin Luther wrote, the spiritual rest which God especially intends in this commandment is that we not only cease from our labor and trade, but much more, that we let God alone work in us. Beloved, God made this day on purpose to raise our hearts to heaven, to worship God, and to converse with Him, and to have Him work in us. God uses the Sabbath day to sanctify us. And when we keep this day, it has a way of keeping us away from sin and close to God. Here too, we don't come to church on Sundays necessarily. We come to God on Sundays. This is the marvel and the wonder and the beauty of worship each Sunday. And it's God who then feeds us and nourishes us by His word and spirit. And we, in response, lift our hearts up in prayer and thanksgiving and song and offering to Him. Oftentimes, many Christians still want to know what they can and what they cannot do on the Lord's Day. And usually when we start asking these kinds of questions, it is because we want to know what we can get away with. We want to know how far we can actually go without actually breaking the fourth commandment. But if we are looking for a loophole in the Lord's Day, then we are missing the whole point of the fourth commandment. God is calling us away from our own business to transact the most important business of all, which is fellowship with the living God. This too is why a day in God's courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. For what could be more wonderful and more marvelous than to be in the presence of the living God? David said in Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Think about this. Of all the things that David could ask for, could desire in this world, he says, one thing that I desire for is that I may be in the house of the Lord, to gaze at the beauty of the Lord. Beloved, when we begin to understand more fully the blessings that are ours when we dwell in God's courts and how God bestows his favor on us each and every Sunday by his word and spirit, we see how the Sabbath day prepares us for the future. Every Sunday is a foretaste of dwelling with God forever throughout all eternity. Our festive day of rest is a preview of life in the presence of God forever in the new heaven and the new earth. And beloved, what God also wants is that the Sunday influences all the other days of the week. Keeping the fourth commandment also means that we confess that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways. Let the Lord work in me through his Spirit, and so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. Beloved, we can see from this how there can be no such thing as a Sunday Christian. When we have truly observed the Sunday for what it is and have been in communion with the living God, then this will have a sanctifying effect on all the other days of the week. There is a power which proceeds from Sunday to all our work days. Sunday does not stand in that sense apart from or detached from our daily life, or as a glaring contrast to it. But the Sabbath day of rest is the throbbing heart to all our days. When Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath, then he also needs to be the Lord of our lives. Then our whole lives will be dedicated to him. God has, by his Holy Spirit, made his address in us. He dwells with us in every step of our lives. And so we are called to worship him in every step of our lives with praise. And we find rest each day when we leave the burden of sin at the cross and find rest at the heart of our Savior. And we show this by giving ourselves over to God each day of our lives. In this sense, we need to get up every morning and say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Only in this way, by the Holy Spirit, can we begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. Beloved, though we may now only see it dimly and enjoy it partially and in a weak way, God's purpose in this commandment is for us to have a foretaste of heaven's rest. Sunday is a preview of life and worship in the presence of God forever in the new heaven and the new earth. This foretaste may still be weak in us, but the more that we pray for the Holy Spirit to work in us, the more this emblem of rest will become a reality for us. As we sing, "New graces ever gaining, from this our day of rest, we reach the rest remaining to spirits of the blessed." In closing, God has given to us the fourth commandment so that already now on this day we can taste of our everlasting feast. And so may our prayer and desire always be that of the psalmist David, who said in Psalm 27, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Amen.